So if you have been here for more than a few Sundays, you probably noticed a theme running through my sermons. I often preach about the power of love to help bring about healing, and how learning to break down the barriers that keep us separate from one another will bring us even more joy and strengthen our sense of connection and community. Even when that's not my sermon topic, it is almost always my message. But one of the things that people have been asking me lately is, what do I actually do to bring more peace and more love into my life? How do I have more joy? What do I do? And so I thought I would talk to you today a little bit about how you can practically have more joy and more connection and more happiness and more love in your life. And the thing is, the answer is actually unbelievably simple. If you really sit quietly and get present, you will probably begin to feel love for the person right in front of you. Social scientists have done clinical studies where they have people just sit quietly and look into one another's eyes for an extended period of time. Some studies have found that people's brain waves begin to sync up. Some show the release of biochemicals related to connection and care. And in other studies, people themselves report feelings of love for someone who is a stranger, who they have just spent some time looking into the eyes of. The secret to experiencing more love and joy seems to be quite simple. Be completely present. What you start to find is that there is potential for love and connection all around you that you just weren't aware of. It's mainly about bringing your full awareness to where you are, particularly in the relationships that you have just day to day. Think about all the many people that you encounter on a typical day, the people who serve you or who you walk by on the sidewalk, whatever your sphere is. Consider what your orientation is to the people that you run into every single day. Are you looking for ways to be helpful? To connect? Or are you mostly, like so many of us, just looking to get through your day without being bothered? Bringing your awareness to where you are when you are in public and around other people. Are you noticing that your day-to-day life is filled with sparkly little moments of magic and connection, where your heart feels joyful and you feel interconnected with people and fond of them? Because if you're not, you could be. And that's how I am living my life on my best days. A routine, mundane trip to the store becomes an opportunity to be of service, to throw a little love at somebody, to receive a little bit of gratitude. And how do you bring more love into the relationships that you have with your friends and family? Sometimes we find ourselves with difficult relationships. My friend Rebecca had always had a strained relationship with her mother. But a few years ago, she deliberately decided that something needed to change. She became clear that she didn't like the way it had been. She didn't like the dynamic. And since she has to be in relationship with this person, she wanted to do something to increase the quality of the relationship for her own sense of well-being. And so she deliberately went about changing it. She told me that for her, it has been a journey of letting go of expectations, letting go of any agenda, and letting go of her judgments. Instead, she has been practicing really listening to her mother and becoming curious about her, and it has made a tremendous difference. She not only tolerates family events, but as her compassion for her mother has grown, so too has her fondness for her. It's one of these magical things that happens. You have some relative in your family who you think is difficult and hard to get along with, and so you've learned over the years to just sort of put up with them. Oh boy, here comes Aunt Edna. But it is amazing what happens when you change your attitude about somebody. Something happens in the relationship that is between you. Something gets altered, and they feel it too. They change. I have experienced it many times myself. It's a choice you make to change your attitude towards someone. Instead of bracing yourself with defenses, you just decide for once to try facing this person with a sense of openness and curiosity and try to see them as the vulnerable being that they truly are. In a book I'm reading, I just came across this corrective from Soren Kierkegaard. He suggests, most people are subjective toward themselves and objective toward all others, frightfully objective sometimes. But the task is precisely to be objective toward oneself and subjective toward all others. So what I think he means is that when we judge the actions of others, we should put ourselves in their place, try to understand how they see themselves and their world. And when we judge ourselves, we should see ourselves as others see us. Of course, his suggestion is difficult at first to put into practice. We need to cut through vanity and self-deception when we look at ourselves, as well as cynicism and defensiveness when we examine others. Put another way, we must have courage toward ourselves and empathy toward others. What has happened in my life when I have been able to do this is that people often surprise me. It's a really great thing. You think you have a read on them and what their capabilities are, but when somebody has this beam of unconditional love focused at them, sometimes remarkable things happen. People grow and blossom and open toward their higher potential. And here's another life hack, a bit of magic that you can apply to just about everything in your life. In virtually every single encounter or situation, ask yourself the question, what would love do? And then do that thing. And that is how you increase your happiness. It's how you increase your connection to the holy in every moment of your day. So a colleague of mine had this experience a few years ago. He was driving back to LA from a weekend trip in Las Vegas. And not surprisingly, he got caught up in a bunch of traffic on the way home. His Google map suggested a shortcut that would bypass miles of stopped traffic. Gratefully, he accepted the rerouted directions and turned off the highway onto what essentially turned out to be not exactly a road, but a rough and stony path through the hot, sandy desert. At first, it was okay. He began driving parallel to the freeway where he could see all the cars were still at a dead stop. But soon there were other cars and brake lights in front of him. And then he realized that the route that Google had sent him on required him to drive straight up a steep embankment on a rocky dirt fire road to rejoin the traffic on the main highway. A few of the drivers of the more robust off-road vehicles were attempting it. He watched as a Jeep just barely made it. But most people were trying to maneuver their cars to go back to that point miles behind them now where they had first turned off the main road. It was hot and dusty. The cars were getting stuck. Children were hungry. Parents were exhausted, and everybody was cranky. My friend was annoyed and was hours later than he hoped and was totally stressed out. As he was preparing to turn around, he saw that the car next to him was stuck in the sand. At that moment, it dawned on him that he had a choice about how he would respond. He chose to ask, okay, what would love do in this instant? And he said, as he was telling me, he said, I was pissed off and late and wanted nothing more to just be home already, but I knew that what love would do is stop and help that couple get their car out of the sand. He ended up spending 20 or 30 minutes helping the couple, talking with them, joking with them, and by the end, they were all laughing together and filled with gratitude. If you navigate by that rule, your experiences will be vastly better. When my friend was telling me this story, he said, I've had the other experience, you know, where I'm stressed out and annoyed and I complain the whole time, when I ignore everyone else's problems and just focus on my own needs and try to just get through it as fast as I can. It's always a miserable experience. But in that moment, I realized I could try another way. So my friend does not remember this experience as this horrible time that he spent an extra 5 hours coming home from Vegas, thanks to a glitch in Google's navigation system. Now he tells it fondly, as the time he overcame his first response of anger and annoyance, and instead found joy. He chose to turn it into an opportunity to really be of service, to help and connect in a heartfelt way with a couple of strangers. So don't take my word for this. I encourage you to try it for yourself. If you're at all like me, you have probably spent a good portion of your life not being very present, acting egoically, looking out for yourself and trying to get what you want, what you need. And we kind of know how that goes, don't we? There are other ways to try going through the world. So the next time you go to Vons and you're going through the checkout line, now not in a creepy way, but look into the checker's eyes and ask them how their day is going, as if you really care. Or when they ask you how you're doing, instead of, fine, thanks, you, instead of doing that, actually answer them. It takes a little finessing. You don't want to impose yourself on people who are obviously not looking for that kind of intimacy, but I promise, if you actually put your attention around you, you will find that all around you are people who are open and receptive to having these little moments of love together. And that's what it is. That's what's happening. So on Mother's Day, we lift up the nurturers among us. And even if your own associations with mothering are not the hallmark variety, there is good reason to celebrate nurturing care. Being held in unconditional love allows people to feel safe enough to take the risks necessary for growth and refinement. It's especially helpful so we can have that courage toward ourselves, to look at ourselves honestly, the way Kierkegaard suggests. What you put out into the world is what will come back to you. Your day-to-day experience is shaped by what it is that you're putting out. So I guarantee, it's a money-back guarantee, that fanning those glowing coals of all those little kindnesses will bring more joy into your life. People who are spending their lives feeling isolated and disconnected can be drawn in. Becoming truly present, letting go of your expectations, and replacing your judgments with curiosity and compassion will shift even the most difficult relationships. And this is how we become agents of peace and love in the world. Be one of those people who, as you go through the world, you're spreading this energy to everyone you come in contact with. You probably know somebody like that. Be that person. If each of us begins to take this on, we will exponentially increase the love and care in our community, which will spread wider and wider. This is the work of peacemaking. Imagine a world where every politician asked the question, what would love do, before they voted to create a new law? We would have clean air and soil and water. Children and elders and veterans would have enough to eat and medical care and roofs over their heads. People in all the vulnerable populations would feel safe and cared for. This is the answer to everything. And it all begins with you. Your choice to simply open your heart and be fully, completely present to the love that is all around you. May we have the courage and the willingness to do so. Amen, and blessed be.